that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Where does musical genius come from? And is it fair that some get so much more of it than others? That's the central question of the play Amadeus, about Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and his jealous rival, composer Antonio Salieri. Reading's Axiom Repertory Theater just opened its production of Amadeus, and we'll be talking with the director and cast. Next week, the Healing Arts Gallery, part of the Enlo Regional Cancer Center in Chico, has a special celebration and reception to present artwork and poetry created by cancer survivors. We'll be talking with the coordinator of the event and with one of the artists and one of the poets. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Reading's Riverfront Playhouse presents The Games Afoot, or Homes for the Holidays, a whodunit comedy. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, with a Sunday matinee at 2. Tomorrow evening, the Cascade Theater in Reading welcomes comedian Vicki Lawrence for an evening of laughs with Vicki Lawrence and Mama, a two-woman show. See this funny lady starting at 7:30. The Orland Arts Center presents Ellen, Then and Now. This exhibit showcases artist Ellen Heiss, from her landscapes in oil paint to her current pen ink drawings. Gallery hours, 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. In Chico, the Blue Room Theater opens its latest production, Here, spelled H-I-R, a subversive comedy about patriarchy and gender roles. Showtimes are 7:30 tonight and tomorrow. California Regional Theater presents the musical comedy Sister Act at the Chico Center for the Arts. This Tony-nominated show, based on the 1992 film, plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2. There is a classic Broadway musical at Chico Theater Company, My Fair Lady. Have a lovely time tonight or tomorrow starting at 7:30, or Sunday starting at 2. Tomorrow at Chico State's Laxon Auditorium, one of the fathers of soul music takes the stage. Booker T. Jones leads you on a journey through the history of Stax Records starting at 7:30. Then Sunday at the University's Zing Recital Hall, Ladies in Black perform. Four faculty members from the Department of Music and Theater play works for trumpet, harpsichord, and harp, starting at 2. At Chico's 1078 Gallery, the exhibit Fortifying the American Dream by sculptor Kyle Campbell, a graduate of Chico State. He created these works during a three-month internship at the cast iron plant in Kohler, Wisconsin. 1078 Gallery is open 12:30 to 5:30, Thursday through Saturday. Chico Arts Center exhibits the diverse artistic ability of its current membership in its Member Showcase. The center's open noon to 4 every day of the week. In Yuba City, the acting company brings us Love Letters, a two-character play that follows the lifetime ups and downs of love through letters a man and a woman exchange. Open the envelope tonight or tomorrow at 7:30. There's also a special delivery 2 o'clock matinee on Sunday. In Yuba City, the Community Memorial Museum of Sutter County features the exhibit Gold Fever, Untold Stories of the California Gold Rush. The museum is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday and Sunday, noon to 4. Grass Valley Center for the Arts welcomes Jesse Cook. This versatile musician is described as familiar and fresh, and a master of both acoustic and electric guitar. The concert starts at 7:30. Reading residents can see Cook perform Tuesday at the Cascade Theater starting at 7:30. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. One-of-a-kind Italian film director Federico Fellini explained that the artist is the medium between his fantasies and the rest of the world.
Music by one of the greatest composers who ever lived, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. And the play Amadeus, about Mozart and his jealous rival Salieri, is on stage now at Old City Hall in Reading, produced by Axiom Repertory Theater. Let's join our Reading correspondent, Kelly Frost. He's at Old City Hall, and he's talking with the director and cast.
I'm Kelly Frost. We're talking with Ken Hill, director from the Axiom Repertory Theater. Ken, tell me how you chose Amadeus, how you came to be here in the Old City Hall.
I was first introduced to the play 25 years ago or more, maybe even 30 years ago. I saw a production of it at Shakespeare Santa Cruz. The film had just come out, and so I saw the title, and I went, oh, they're going to do it on stage. So I was thinking it was going to be this grand, opulent, extravagant, over-the-top production like the film. They did it in a black box, and all they had was a piano. That was it, and some benches. At first, I was kind of like, wow. And then the story itself completely overpowered me. I was shaken to my core watching it. The thematic elements that were in it, and the brilliance of the actors and the staging. This is a perfect piece for Axiom, you know. How we ended up at Old City Hall was quite interesting. Kelly, we've been in three different venues now. We performed at Pilgrim Congregational with Waiting for Godot. We did Cabaret at the Anderson Performing Arts Center at the high school. We did Into the Woods, which you saw outdoors at RSA. We were casting our net for a place that would be more conducive to the next three shows, Amadeus, God of Carnage, and Marvin's Room. And I just think it's an absolutely perfect venue. So we're quite excited to be at Old City Hall. Temperature-controlled climate, comfortable seat, stadium seating, and we can have a full bar.
We know that the characters in this play are all historical figures. Do we know at all if any of the events in this play actually took place? Did they really ever meet each other? Or is it totally just a fiction?
There is the theoretical possibility they met. Certainly the scenes that we see aren't necessarily true, but they certainly serve well as dramatic vehicles. In staging this show, we allow the different conspiracy theories that swirl about Mozart. Certainly he drank heavily near the end of his life and was in a consistent state of inebriation, and yet became this vehicle for arguably the greatest music ever created by a human being in all of time.
Well, Ken Hill, I'm at the Old City Hall talking with some of the cast from Amadeus, and can you tell me your name and then the character that you play?
My name is Nick Brown, and I play Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. I'd say it's an actor's dream, a young actor's dream, especially to be given this part. And it's an honor just to know what actors have done it before and to be a part of it is pretty fantastic.
And are you a musical person yourself?
No, I wouldn't say that I am. I enjoy music, but I'm getting into it, and especially playing Mozart. You learn so much just about it. It's fun. It's fun to learn.
What kind of research did you have to do to prepare yourself to play a person I think most people are familiar with? Yeah. So you know you're probably going to get criticism, oh, you didn't play him right or whatever. I mean, so how do you do that kind of research?
It's tough because all those people and their preconceived notions of Mozart, and mine as well. Mine stem from the movie, as most people do. You have to put that away and just portray the character how you think it is. I mean, trust your script. Just do your best. And the cool thing about Amadeus, the play, is it's told through Antonio Salieri's memory. So this is the memory of Mozart from somebody else. Maybe not exactly how Mozart was, but Salieri's memory of Mozart.
How does Ken Hill kind of deal with that?
Well, Ken was the one who we really sat down in an early rehearsal and talked about how the play is told through Salieri's memory. So don't worry so much about historically accurate, because the play itself, it may have never happened. Salieri and Mozart may have never even met each other in real life. So don't worry too much about being historically accurate. Just portray the character that's in the script.
You know? I see. And then have you gained any kind of new appreciation for his music? Have you listened to maybe music that you hadn't listened to before?
I have, and I've listened to music that I've heard before that I didn't realize was by Mozart. There's so much. It's brilliant. Just amazing work. And yeah, and even Salieri, too, listening to some of his music that nobody listens to anymore. It's all great, great music.
My name is Christian David Crozier, and I'm playing Baron von Sweeten. He's the imperial prefect to the library of this Austrian Empire. His role is both leader of a lodge of the Freemasons and friend and mentor to Mozart. He really takes Mozart under his wing, even though he's really infuriating.
I'm Sarah Lisette Ballard, and I play Caterina Cavallari.
What does your character do?
She's the mistress to Salieri and Mozart.
To both of them?
Yeah, she's a really famous opera singer, and she has an affair with Mozart, and then she goes on to have an affair with Salieri.
How does that happen, that you happen to have an affair with both of them?
Well, Amadeus has a lot of themes of jealousy, and I think Caterina is definitely a vehicle of jealousy for Salieri, because Salieri has devoted his life to God, and Mozart's the one that's getting like all the fame, and it's just better at everything he does, and he's just a natural, and Salieri feels very mediocre to him, and he's, you know, desperately in lust with Caterina. And then when he finds out that Caterina slept with Mozart, it's like the last straw. It's like the straw that breaks the camel's back, and he decides he's going to get even by seducing Mozart's wife. I guess I'm the lighter that sets the straw aflame and causes him to finally go over the edge and defy God and make it his life's work to destroy Mozart.
My name is Reagan, and I'm playing the Emperor Joseph of Austria. He was the brother of Marie Antoinette and the son of Maria Theresa. He's a lightweight, he's somewhat frivolous, and he's superficial intellectually.
My name is Erin Sullivan, and I play Constanza. She's very down to earth. She's the wife of Mozart. She is a little bit more grounded than Mozart, but I feel like Mozart definitely brings it out in her of being able to be silly and have fun. She goes from being silly and super happy, but then she has these moments with Mozart that are just so frustrating that brings her to tears. As an actor, you know, having to bring out those emotions, just it's a lot. It's heavy.
My name is Victoria Graham. The character I play is listed as Venticello 1. There's two of us, and so we're known as the Venticellis. And we work for Salieri, the famous Antonio Salieri, the court composer, who, because of his position in the court, he needs to know what's going on in the city of Vienna. He needs to know what's being said at the parties or what the intrigues are at court. My partner and I, we go everywhere and we listen and we bring him back this information. So we're basically spies. You know, we're catching the gossip, we're catching the stories, the legends, all that, and bringing it back so that Salieri can then be on top of what's going on.
I'm Matthew McDonald, and I am playing Antonio Salieri.
Did you know who he even was before you started rehearsals?
I only knew him from the movie. And once I read the play and started rehearsals, did my research, of course. Fascinating guy, and it just makes the story more fascinating. Unfortunately, a lot of what was said about him was true, but he was still, you know, he's just doing his best. So,
I was talking to the actor who's playing Mozart, and he was saying, in reality, these two characters may have never met, but in this play, they do. It may not even be an actual meeting. It's just somebody remembering this.
Yeah, we've been kind of struggling with that a lot. And my whole take on it is there really is no proof this happened, but there's no proof it didn't. So most of the historical facts that they have in the show itself are completely true. It's just the story that's woven into it that we're not sure.
How do you prepare yourself to play that character?
Thankfully, there's a ton written out there. And it is fun because some of the histories do contradict each other. There's a lot of stuff written by Mozart, a few things about Salieri. Other than that, it's such a juicy story. That's a nice layer underneath it. I think what the play does so successfully is it takes that research and makes them so real and helps you see them how they would have seen each other, as opposed to seeing them as these historical figures. So it's kind of nice to have the history behind it, but also the kind of contemporary flair. It's the biggest role I've ever had. Terrifying, but the cast is so much fun, the character is so much fun, and I really think the audience will have a great time.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm at the Enlo Regional Cancer Center speaking, first of all, with Rebecca Chenelou, who is the Cancer Support Program Coordinator. She's going to introduce an event that is free and open to the public.
Yes, I want to let people know about our Celebration of Healing Arts that's coming up at the end of the month. We once a year gather and celebrate and honor the artists who have shown their work in our Healing Art Gallery for people who have been touched by cancer. The artists are all either cancer survivors or have been intimately involved in caring with someone with cancer. The work from all four artists will be up in the afternoon. At 4:30, we begin a reception with music and food and drink, and we meet the artists, hear a little bit from them, and we will even have some performance from the poets who were involved in our summer poetry and art show.
And what is the date of this celebration?
The date of the celebration is Thursday, January 26th, and like I say, the art will be up in the afternoon, and the reception starts at 4:30 and will be done at 6, so it's an excellent place to stop by after work.
I'm going to turn now to one of the artists, Daphne Altman, a multifaceted talent. She does jewelry and painting and dolls, and I'm sure I'm leaving out many. Oh, ceramics, of course. So, Daphne, you were saying that your father had a wonderful copy of Gray's Anatomy of the Human Body, and that had a big influence on some of your images. You've done acrylic paintings that show the organs of the human body.
Yes, as a child, we didn't have a doctor in our town, and our father doctored us, and he did it out of a great big doctor book. I would spend hours looking at it, and I always could see that it shouldn't be so serious. My father thought I was not a serious person, and I guess I'm not, because I love to do illustrations of flowers, birds, bugs, people, and I thought the innards were just as pretty as what's outside, colorful and not serious. That's why I've done it.
Can you give us a rundown on the organs that you have painted?
Oh, I've done the heart. I was interested in the heart, and I've done a lot of ceramic hearts and a lot of heart paintings. When I was younger, I had a heart condition, so I was always interested in that. It just grew from there. I've always been creative. I really want to thank the Cancer Center for showing artists because I think it shows being creative is very healing because it's an energy. I think creativity is a muscle that needs to be exercised, that we all have, everyone has it. The more you exercise, the better you feel, the more energy you have, which helps in healing. So I think that art, being creative, is very healing.
I'm turning now to Joan Goodreau, who was involved in a fascinating project that brought together writers and visual artists.
My healing came about through collaborating with other survivors. It's a lonely thing to go through treatment. I was happy to meet with other artists, photographers, and a painter. We came out with the idea of putting together poems and paintings. In our case, it was very easy to just pick paintings and photographs that went with the poetry. And I'd like to read a selection from a booklet that we developed from our exhibition. This booklet will be available at the festival. And this particular poem is called Grace. It goes along with a painting by Rita Rickmers called Morocco. On the way to my doctor, I hurry not because I am late, but because I want to make the time hurry, past the fill-out sign-here forms, past murky pictures of mysteries my skin covers. Squint and nod at what I did not know I had, past the questions on my pad I ask, but forget to hear the answers. Then a white feather, thumb size with gray frills, floats down before the entrance. I look around to see the dove it molted from, but there are no tree branches, only the still empty sky. Where does this come from, this parachute of hope, to land on rough asphalt, stop me in my tracks, hold me close in my present?
Very expressive. Are you going to be reading more at the celebration?
Yes, I'm going to be reading more, and the other poet, Patricia Wellington Jones, is going to be reading her poetry too. I think the interesting part for people to come and see is it's not just poetry to listen to, but it's also art to look at. The collaboration, I think, was a good dialogue between the arts and writing.
And between the arts and recovery. I'm looking now at a very energetic and happy-looking person. Her name is Susan Proctor. Susan, how did art help in your healing process?
It helped in many ways of observing from when I was a little girl and loving to draw, observing my surroundings. And I think I did it through just my mind from the very first mammogram, noticing that everybody had a different folder. Those that were going in to have a mammogram had a purple folder, and those that were doing biopsies had green folders. And then I related the colors of the folders to the patients and their expressions, since I've done portrait artwork, and their body movement, their cadence when they were going to the elevator. And that sort of was a very theatrical kind of thing. So not thinking about myself necessarily, but that this was an adventure in my mind of what I visualized.
That's really exciting. Wow. All right, Rebecca, can you give us a rundown on the details and also a projection into future plans?
Yes, the Celebration for Healing Arts will be held at Enloe Regional Cancer Center, which is located at 265 Cohasset Road in Fountain Medical Plaza. That's right across from Chico Sports Club. And it happens right in the hallways of the Cancer Center. Like I say, if you're not able to be at our reception, you can see the exhibit throughout the afternoon. The reception will begin at 4:30 and will go until 6 o'clock. And there will be live music by Jazz Rescue, poetry, artists, food, and drink. Everyone is invited. What I like about the celebrations is that it's an opportunity for the public, staff, past patients, people who are in treatment now, to all come together in a way that's not focused on disease so much as focused on what we are beyond the disease. I can't tell you how important that is. Enloe operates according to the plane tree philosophy of care, and arts is one of the 10 core components. And we have been working to integrate art more into what we do. We will be having the launch of a new community healing arts project at the celebration. We are going to be redoing our skylight exhibits, and I have three local artists who have been touched by cancer involved in the project. One of those skylights will be called Life is But a Dream, and people will be invited to participate. And if you want to know more about that, you can find out at the celebration.
And once more, let's close with the date of the celebration and the times.
The date is Thursday, January 26th, and people can see the art starting at noon, and the reception starts at 4:30 p.m. and goes until 6 p.m.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in your community. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.